When you're firing on all cylinders like the Ravens did on Sunday, they're going to be a tough team to beat. If you keep on playing like that, Super Bowl is not very far behind. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. Today, we'll be talking all about that Ravens win against those Detroit Lions. We'll look ahead at the Arizona Cardinals, their second straight NFC matchup in the 2023 season. We'll have Engraven Vids. If you guys know him, he's one of the most popular Ravens content creators in the world. I mean, not even saying the U.S., in the world. He'll join us and talk all about that Ravens game and look ahead to the Cardinals. But first, the Lions were not expecting that. No sirree, Bob. I wasn't expecting that. If you watched the show last week, I definitely said that the Ravens were going to win. Did not expect a 32-point beatdown. I mean, how could I? How could anyone? I mean, the Ravens came from a win against the Tennessee Titans, but they struggled in the red zone. They weren't really pushing. They scored one touchdown out of six tries. The Ravens struggled a little bit to get into the end zone with Lamar Jackson running or throwing. Not this game. I mean, where was this team 6 weeks ago? Where was this team against the Steelers, against the Colts? I want more of this. But it just goes to show you, when they're firing all cylinders, when the Ravens receivers are catching the balls, when they're executing, when everything's in sync, the Ravens are a tough team to beat. And it's only week seven, you know, now week eight, but week seven last Sunday, and you're starting to see it. We all said that it will take a couple of weeks for this offense to matriculate. You got Todd Monken coming in, infusing his style of offense in what Greg Roman built. The foundation was laid for him, and he added little things here and there, things that he liked, making Lamar more of a pocket passer, which has paid huge dividends. And now we're seeing the fruits of their labor starting to come to fruition. They beat a Lions team who's the best. Guys, I know when I say Detroit Lions, you're thinking, oh, you know, it's the Lions, you know. They're not really a formidable opponent. You know, guys, just don't sip on the Kool-Aid too much. But the Lions have the best defense in the National Football League. At least they did up until this Sunday. The Lions were touted as the best, not one of the best team in the National Football Conference. And the Ravens just spanked them. I mean, whooped them. First quarter, I was thinking, can the refs stop this game? Can the officials just put a stop to this? Like, what's going on? It was a massacre. And it wasn't like the Lions were looking confused. It wasn't like the Lions came into this not knowing what to expect. I felt that way, but it was par for the course of the Lions. The Lions love to run man coverage on defense and blitz you and make you make quick decisions. And Lamar Jackson made quick decisions. And when he didn't, he made you pay before he made the right decision. And most likely that was scoring touchdowns. So huge win by the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday against the Lions. The Lions fans are, you know, they're a little disappointed. They were talking, they were yapping a little bit, you know. Lions fans aren't used to having a successful football team. They're not used to being the talk of the town. So they came into this game seeing that the Ravens struggled against the Titans, seeing that they lost to the Colts and the lowly Steelers, and they were thinking, oh, we're going to show out on 1 p.m. Eastern time. We're gonna show out and show the world that the Lions are for real. And that didn't happen. And the Ravens obviously, you know, made a statement at the digress of the Detroit Lions. But I'm so impressed with the Ravens. And I'm also impressed with the Lions. Let's give credit where credit is due. The Lions aren't done. The Ravens probably not going to see them again for quite some time unless they make the Super Bowl as well. But the Lions are still a great team. The Lions defense is still out there to play. I love what Dan Campbell is doing to that Detroit team. But this is less to do about the Lions and more to do about the Baltimore Ravens. We finally get to see it. We finally get to experience what a great offense surrounded by a talent like Lamar Jackson will look like. And this is just the beginning. There's still levels to this. If you're looking at home and you're watching this, okay, well, this is the best the Ravens can be. No. This is just a small sample. The Ravens are still going to build their offense. Even throughout 2023, entering into 2024, Todd Monken is slowly implementing his offense because, like we've mentioned, this is really a Greg Roman style of offense that Todd Monken is putting his little twist in. And that's going to be difficult. That's going to be difficult to do. And John Harbaugh alluded to that in the offseason. Like, this is going to be a work in progress. You're going to see some things that you're going to like. You're going to see some things that are going to be different. But They liked what they saw with Greg Roman. Greg Roman just could not build upon the foundation that he laid with Lamar Jackson being the center of the offense. And I had a conversation, actually, with Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, who talked about how the Ravens were looking a little clunky on offense, even though they scored 38 points. That there are still some things that he saw on tape that he didn't like. He didn't really necessarily say, you know, this is a high-octane offense. And I agree with him a little bit. I mean, not to the point. I mean, he's kind of right. He's kind of right. So the Ravens offense looks good. 38 points is 38 points. I don't care who you are. But having the offense that we envision, fans and analysts alike, at the start of this, where Lamar is spreading out the offense and the receivers are making routes and hot routes and all that stuff that you love to see from the Chiefs and Steelers sometimes, that's not what this offense is going to be right now. It's very difficult to mesh two styles of offenses together, especially the yin and yang of Tal Monken and Greg Roman. Now, Greg Roman played a very zone read type of offense with the running, with heavy sets, six or seven beefy guys up front, and really misdirection was the name of the game. It's hard to have a type of offense where the goal is to lean the defense one way and shift another way and also have dynamic routes. It's just too much to put on Lamar Jackson in a few short months prior to the start of the season. So I expect the Ravens to build upon this in the offseason, but this offense right now in 2023 is good enough to win the Super Bowl, for sure, for sure. Now, they'll need to make adjustments in the offseason, and that's a little ways away. There's still about 10 games left in the season, so we'll talk about that when the time comes. But as of now, with the way this defense is rocking in all cylinders and the way Lamar Jackson is playing, they're for sure, a threat to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. They just spanked the best team in the NFC. I mean, they just whooped them. I mean, I was, you know, I talk about it, you know, in the preseason, in the beginning of the season, when I was talking about how I used to fall asleep during the Greg Roman offense. I was about to fall asleep in this game, but for entirely different reasons. The reason is the game was over in the first quarter. You know, I was getting things done. I was texting folks. I was taking care of some business. I was playing with my daughter while watching the game. It was a good time if you're a Ravens fan, for sure. And if you're a Lions fan, not so much. But let's get into it. Let's get into the nitty gritty of this, because we really do need to talk about the star of the show. The guy, and I think Tal Monken for real deserves a large portion of the credit. But there's one guy, one man, who was taking a lot of crap from the media, from some local media, some guys in a little corner station in Baltimore, Maryland, that we won't really discuss on this podcast, who have been very critical of this guy. But he's starting to show out. And that guy is Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is looking like an MVP caliber quarterback. It's coming. If the season ended today, Lamar Jackson would be one of the front runners for that MVP award. He would be in the conversation. And if I was to vote, he'd be top two. And he's not number two. I mean, he has done everything right, especially in this game that just passed. Lamar Jackson looked like a man among boys, a man among infants. He could not be stopped. He was laser focused. And John Harbaugh talked about that, how the Ravens coming up to this game were laser focused. It almost seemed like he was surprised. Like he really couldn't put into words where the focus was coming from. They had three strong practices per Harbaugh, and they were just ready to rock and roll. So he wasn't really surprised by the result. He was just more surprised about how laser focused they were heading into this game. And I think I know why. There's too much potential. There is too much potential on this Ravens roster for them to play the way they have been playing the first 6 weeks. Save for the Browns game, when I think the Browns are better than they showed in that game, and save for the Bengals game, in which the score didn't dictate it, but the Ravens really played their best football in quite some time. The Ravens weren't playing great football. They were playing good enough to win, and that style of play would really cost you, and you saw that firsthand in Indianapolis, in the Indianapolis game. But playing like that is not going to get you very many playoff wins, let alone into the Super Bowl. So I'm sure the Ravens had an internal conversation, maybe a players-only meeting. I don't know, but that game opened my eyes. I almost came in here with some Kool-Aid to drink, some purple Kool-Aid, because I'm all in. But right now, we'll just focus on what's good, and that's that the Ravens were able to get the job done. We saw some execution, some performances from Rashad Bateman. We saw some sightings from Odell Beckham Jr. I critiqued Rashad Bateman last week. I told him, start to show up if you want to be the number one receiver, if you want to be considered for a contract with the Ravens when the time comes. You got to start playing like a big-time receiver. And he showed up. He looked like he was ready to play, and he needs to build on this performance. He's not there yet. I'm not going to say, hey, you're WR1. Move aside, Zay Flowers. But you like what you see from Rashad Bateman in that game, and you just hope that he can build upon that performance in Week 8. Now, let's go ahead and talk about the defense, because the defense really shut out the Lions. We talked about how great the Lions' defense was. The Lions' offense may have been even better. I mean, Jared Goff was playing lights out the first 6 weeks of the season. Many people were looking forward to this matchup, one of the better defenses against the best offense, in my opinion. And the Ravens just shut them down. Geno Stone leads the league in interceptions. He's not going to be back, Baltimore. I am sorry. He is going to be a free agent, and he's going to get paid. That's what happens when you pay your quarterback top dollars. You lose valuable players like Geno Stone. So enjoy him while you have him. Right now, he leads the league in interceptions. He's seen the field, Geno Stone. He's seen the field better than any safety, really, on the roster. And I've seen some great safety play from Kyle Hamilton. I've seen some great safety play from Marcus Williams when he's healthy. But, man, Geno Stone is just playing lights out right now. He's fighting for a contract, and he is going to get it. Keep playing like that, boy. You're going to get paid. So the Ravens defense came out. They showed out. Marlon Humphrey inching his way back. He's still on a bit of a snap count, but he's really playing lights out football. The pass rush is there. Odafe Owe, I believe he has some pressures. Everything's forming in the Ravens' way. They stay healthy. And this is the healthiest the Ravens have been since the start of the season. If they continue to stay healthy, if they continue to make plays, if they continue to build upon their performance, don't be satisfied with this butt whooping. I mean, 5-2 is great, but 5-12 is not. You best believe you can still lose games in the National Football League. And you got those two losses against inferior opponents. You know it's not easy to win in this league. So the Ravens need to build upon that performance. The defense needs to continue to shut things down. And the Ravens fans are just going to sit there and watch as their team does a masterful job of emulating that 2019 season. And I think a lot of Ravens fans are starting to see some similarities. Lamar Jackson's looking a bit unstoppable. And we'll see where they go from there. When we come back, we're going to talk to Engraven Vids, my man, most popular YouTuber for Ravens content in the planet. I mean, he is knocking it out of the park with his content, daily news updates. We'll talk to him about the Cardinals game. We'll try to look back about that Lions game and see what he feels about their performance. And we'll see what he has to say. Big time. CEO, president of Team Keep It Clean, coming up next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. As I told you, we have Engraven Vids on. He's the CEO, president of Team Keep It Clean, one of the greatest content creators for the Ravens on YouTube. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, and I love the setup. I love how clean it is. Like, I mean, I feel like yours looking even better than mine, though. Congrats to you, man.
I'm just trying to keep up with you. You know, yours looking so clean, so I had to make sure my setup was a little something to keep comparable. But let's talk about it. The Ravens beat down the Lions, something that I didn't expect. I predicted them to win the game, of course, but 32-point beatdown is something that not many expected. What are your thoughts about that? Did you see a win coming? And if so, did you see a beatdown of this proportion?
See, Ravens are such a weird team, and they do stuff like this all the time. They'll have these games early in the season, really throughout the season, but they'll have these games where they're struggling, and they may be winning, they may be losing a couple of them too, but they're struggling. But then when there's this team, a top-ranked team that comes in and that's supposed to really overpower them, they end up just completely flipping the script. So I really wasn't surprised that it was a blowout. I felt like this was a real nice game for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, one thing that has been a consistent throughout throughout the beginning of the season has been the defense.
Yeah.
Defense has been on point like throughout. It's of course been the offense that's been real shaky. And there have been some times where it looked like they could get hot, but then there were the drops and stuff. We remember that Pittsburgh game.
Oh, yeah.
But then in this game, they finished. They started and they finished, and they got hot and they kept it hot. And by the time they cooled off, they had already been hot enough throughout the beginning of the game that it was okay that they got conservative. Because I know that's been an issue for a lot of people. And I mean, just for the Baltimore Ravens in general. So this was a nice, complete game from the Baltimore Ravens. They got a little bit from everything on all three phases of the football.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. The defense has been carrying the team for real, but mm-hmm. the Ravens' offense lack of consistency has kept them from being, in my opinion, undefeated like they should be. I think they should be 7-0 based on what we see from them on the field. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about their defense, because there's one player who I talked about who I think is really separating himself from the boys and is going to be an issue come the end of the season, and that's Geno Stone, who mm-hmm. leads the league in interceptions. He's for some reason, the Ravens are doing a great job of bringing in these safeties, especially after bringing in Marcus Williams. Do you think he's going to be back next year? I mean, I think he's gone, but
I think he's out of there, man, especially because of the situation that the Ravens are in right now. They paid Marcus Williams a boatload of money. You use a first-round draft pick on Kyle Hamilton. Like, I don't see them paying Geno Stone as well. And even though he won't command as much money as Marcus Williams did, I mean, hey, we'll know. Who knows about how the rest of the season goes? Things could change, but he most likely won't command as much money as Marcus Williams did, but at the same time, he's still going to command a boatload of money. And I just don't see Ravens dedicating that amount of cap and salary and whatnot to a backup safety. He's not going to be a backup anymore. And then you got to think about Geno Stone's side too. Like, if Geno Stone looking like, okay, y'all got Marcus Williams and I'm only playing right now because he got hurt, are y'all going to start me over him? If mm-hmm. not, then I'm gone. And I can't blame Geno Stone for that, because I would want more opportunity too.
Yeah, yeah. I think I agree with you completely. I think he's out of there, but let's enjoy him while he's here. He's definitely been a ball hawk, something that the Ravens really hadn't had consistently since we had Ed Reed. Well, I think that we might be getting closer and closer to that trade deadline. Next week is that trade deadline. The Ravens are a team that, you know, if they're inching really closely, they feel like they're one player away from the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. Eric DaCosta is not afraid to pull the trigger. Are there any players you know out there who you think might be a good fit? Do you have an inkling of what position the Ravens might be targeting as the trade deadline comes close?
I think that the Baltimore Ravens will be interested in a defensive lineman. Reason I say that is because I feel like their defensive line has been good. But the fact that they talked to Ndamukong Suh about possibly joining a team, that lets us know, like, okay, Ravens still snooping around looking for something a little extra. And I would love, haven't heard anything official, anything like that, but I would love if the Baltimore Ravens got Danielle Hunter. Now, I know the Baltimore Ravens, like, they're in a good position right now, which I appreciate, because Ravens, like, you could, I don't know if you feel the same way, but the Baltimore Ravens right now, I feel like they don't necessarily have to even trade for anybody. I feel like any position that they get right now, it'll almost be a luxury, because they got a good amount of receivers. They got running backs. They, of course, got to stay healthy, and we got to cut down the fumbles a little bit too. But the offensive line is solid. They could be a little better, but that'll come with more consistent playing together and whatnot. The defensive line, the linebackers, the cornerbacks, been like, they have been probably the unit that's impressed me the most, especially when Marlon Humphrey was out, because I was thinking, oh boy, here we go, Marlon Humphrey out. I don't know what this is getting ready to look like, and they've been playing great. And especially like Brandon Stevens, like he was somebody that had been shaky for the past couple of years, but he came on strong, man. And I thought, okay, he just did it for one game, and then he did it for another game, then another. I said, well, okay, now Brandon Stevens, do your thing, baby. But they have been such a nice surprise. But as far as the trade market, like, yeah, they have, like, and they got depth at a lot of positions too. So anything that they get, I feel like, would be a luxury. But Danielle Hunter, like, if they could get him in, I feel like the Vikings winning against the 49ers, that made it a little bit harder, because that gave the Vikings and their organization a bit more hope for this season. So if they were to go after Danielle Hunter, that would make his price even higher, since the Vikings may not be big sellers, or as big sellers as they would have been if they lost that Monday night game against the 49ers. But he would give you somebody that can create consistent pressure without even blitzing. Like, he's somebody that can just, he just wins, man. Leading the league in sacks, got 9 sacks. It was nice to see him get that 9th one the other day on Brock Purdy. But to add him to what the Ravens already have in a Jadeveon Clowney, who has just had a resurgence of a career with the Baltimore Ravens, which I've loved. Kyle Vannoy, who Ravens talked to in the offseason, and it ain't work out back then. They were like, you know what? Let's run it back. And then they ended up getting him. And he's been a nice addition, too. And then Justin Madubuike, I know you talked about Geno Stone earlier playing his way out of Baltimore. Justin Madubuike going to be tough, man. That could be another one, man. Oh, man, that's gonna be a lot of bread that he's getting. Yeah. He is going to get a lot of money. But the Ravens have, with them leading the league in sacks, like I would never think that the Ravens will lead the league in sacks, especially like if we go back 2 years, 3 years, because Ravens would be struggling to get sacks, struggling to get pressure. But it's crazy how things could change just like that, man. But yeah, Danielle Hunter would be somebody that I would love if the Ravens got, because that will make a big strength even stronger.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you. I think they'll probably try and target the line because Mike McDonald has had to blitz maybe more so than he would like to create pressure. And, man, to have a guy like Hunter and at his disposal, when you said his name, I was like, ooh. But I think it might cost the Ravens a little bit. But
oh, yeah,
EDC is not going to be afraid to pull that trigger. He's not Ozzie Newsome, who was a little more conservative. I think that conservativeship came when they drafted Kyle Bowler and they had to trade a first-round draft pick to get him. And since then, I remember him saying that he's not going to trade first-round draft picks or even seconds unless he absolutely have to. But EDC will not be afraid to do just that. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson. We're going to shift back to the offense. Lamar Jackson had a masterful game, and in my opinion, he has catapulted himself into the MVP conversation. I think he should be at the top. I think Patrick Mahomes hasn't really played to his standard, but I think that he's kind of pretty much made us a little bit, I want to say spoiled with this play, but spoiled with how he's played in the past. But man, I really like what I saw from Lamar Jackson. He's really starting to take control and make this offense his own.
Yeah, that and then what you said about him taking control, that's been big with Lamar Jackson this year. You just see a lot of times when he calls the audibles. It's like, all right, now Lamar, here we go. That's what I'm talking about. And you also mentioned that us as Ravens fans are spoiled. We are. Mm-hmm. We are for sure, because Lamar Jackson, week after week after week, he does this crazy, insane stuff. But we used to seeing it on a weekly basis. So it's like, even when he doesn't do all the crazy stuff, we're like, hey, Lamar, what's going on? What you doing? What's wrong? Because we're so used to all of it. Now, something that in this Lions game specifically, what I really loved seeing from Lamar Jackson, he really like had extra trust for his offensive line.
Yep.
There were times where he would just be standing there and he would be getting pressured a little bit. Like I saw Aiden Hutchinson trying to reach over Ronnie Stanley and them and trying to get to Lamar. He would just be standing there. And then he find his receiver, flick it to him, boom, big completion. And he might even get hit sometimes too, but Lamar Jackson, he just stood there, didn't flinch, didn't get flustered or none of that. He had the ultimate trust for them and it paid off. As far as MVP, I feel like with Lamar Jackson, what you talked about being spoiled. He does so much for the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. Obviously, just everything goes through him. And you could obviously say that about a lot of quarterbacks, but to lead the team in rushing, to obviously lead the team in passing too, that takes a lot. It takes a lot to do that for years, over and over and over, to do it consistently. So I guess I could put him in, as far as Ravens MVP, league MVP right now, I don't know yet, man. Right now, even though I know after he got beat down on Sunday night, Tua, I would still put Tua in the MVP lead right now. But I could definitely put Lamar in the race. So because he just does so much.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't see the numbers don't tell the whole story. You got to actually look at Lamar Jackson and his offense to see how much he does.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, I got so excited with that Ravens beatdown and not expecting really for them to go overboard that I just have to put Lamar at the top. But to your point, Tua is playing lights out right now, even though he loses. Everybody loses in the National Football League, and Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick. So it's good that Lamar Jackson's in that race now, and hopefully he can build upon that. Let's move forward to the Cardinals game, because the Ravens, everybody thought that the Colts loss was, you know, terrible, but the Colts are playing pretty good football right now. And the Steelers are also, in my opinion, still a lowly football team, but they somehow crept their way into 4-2. This is their first game where they're playing a really inferior opponent in the Arizona Cardinals, because currently they're 1-6. Do you smell trap game? Do you think this is a game in which the Ravens could take the eye off the ball and go into Arizona and lose one?
They could, but I don't think they will. They better not. I mean, this is a game where this is the first time in regular season action where they get to go up against their former first round, Eric DaCosta's first round draft pick, right? And Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
So that should be fun. And maybe we'll see if Kyler Murray ends up playing in this game since he did get activated, got put on the active roster last week. So he could, whether they face Josh Dobbs, whether they face Kyler Murray, we'll see. But I do expect that defense to have a good game. But yeah, it got trap game written all over it. Sure, because you're going up against a team, like you mentioned, 1-6. They are terrible right now. But at the same time, when you face a terrible team that has nothing to lose, it's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. So I really appreciated Lamar Jackson in the presser on Sunday after the win against the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you have your best offensive outing of the year. You throw three touchdowns. You ran for a touchdown. Like, you did your thing in that game. But he wasn't smiling. He wasn't all jolly and whatnot. Wasn't dancing around and whatnot. He had a straight face on himself. That was just one regular season game. And he talked about the Baltimore Ravens having that ultimate goal, of course, getting to the playoffs and then to the Super Bowl. So I do appreciate and did appreciate that focus, and hopefully that carries on throughout the rest of the team and really throughout the rest of the season. But it starts this week against the Cardinals. You cannot sleep on a team, no matter how bad they are, no matter how rough things have been for them, because all it takes, a couple bad plays, fumble here, pick there, turnover here. And if you let a bad team hang around, like the Ravens have done a couple of times, even though the Colts, yeah, like you mentioned, they've been playing better football and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But you let a team hang around for enough, then they'll catch you slipping and they can get the win over you, like it happened against the Colts at the crib at M&T Bank Stadium and then with the Steelers. So it's important that the Baltimore Ravens do what they did. And it would be unfair and unrealistic to expect every single game to go like the Lions game.
Exactly.
We would love for it to, but it would be unrealistic to expect it. But it's important that the Ravens, they put their foot on the gas. They do not take it off. They leave it on the gas. And then if you have a big enough lead in the second half, then you can start easing up just a little bit, but not too much.
Right. Yeah, well, I agree with you totally. I think that the Ravens have a good chance of winning this game. But like you said, it has trap game written all over it. They better not take their foot off the gas. And I think that based on Lamar's comments in the press conference, they'll be laser focused coming into that game. Well, thank you so much, Engraven, for joining us. I appreciate it. You're a superstar in this realm of content creation. I know you're a humble guy, so I won't push it on you too much. But go ahead and tell the folks home where they can find your stuff.
I appreciate you having me on, man. But you can find me on Engraven Viz. That's on my YouTube channel, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything is Engraven Viz. We also have a second YouTube channel as well where we just talk about the NFL in general. That channel is called More Engraven Viz. Appreciate you again, Sam, for having me on. And much love to you. I'm gonna have to bring you on myself.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. I would love to be on there. I'm a little bit of a fan, so I'll try and keep my composure. But again, appreciate you for joining us. When we come back, Ravens fans, we'll talk all about the Ravens Cardinals game. We'll get my predictions on what I think will happen, and then we'll close things out on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. That was Engraven. He's a big time content creator. He's a little humble, so you know he doesn't really like it when I toot his horn a little bit. But I mean, I really respect what he does on the Ravens content scene. And if you're watching this show or you're listening to the podcast, and you pretty much know him very well. If you don't, then you better get to, because he's doing big things in the Ravens community. But yeah, we talked about the Ravens Cardinals game. It seems like a trap game. It seems like this is one of those games where everyone expects the Ravens to win. So maybe the Ravens don't win. You know, maybe the Ravens take their eye off the ball a little bit. They travel to the West Coast, to Arizona, and play a team that has only one win on the season. And that's with storylines. And Graven mentioned it. Hollywood Brown, the first round draft pick, EDC's first pick. I mean, very polarizing. and opinions for this guy. Who really knows which way he could have gone if Greg Roman wasn't there? But he's an Arizona Cardinal as of now. Him and Lamar are great buddies. So there's some interest in Brown to win this game, I'm sure. So don't sleep on this Cardinals team. But as far as my predictions, I think the Ravens are going to beat the hell out of them. I think the Ravens are going to destroy the Cardinals. Maybe not to the extent of the Lions. There's not very many games where you beat a team, a professional team, by 32 points. But I think the Ravens bring that energy they had at M&T Bank Stadium over to Arizona and handle business. I don't think Kyler Murray plays. And if he does, what are the coaches thinking? This is the first game for Kyler Murray back, and you play the best defense in the NFL. You just throw him out there like that? Nah. I think they put in Dobbs and let him be the sheep for slaughter as the Wolves come to attack and pick up their sixth win. I didn't give a point prediction last time. I didn't expect them to win 38-6 against the Lions, but I'll do a prediction now. I think the Ravens win, let's go 27-13. Two touchdown win. The Ravens cruise to their sixth win of the season and stay atop the AFC North. Well, that's going to do it for us at the Ravens Talk Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We had Engraven. We talked all about that Ravens whooping, and I fully expect the Ravens to pick up another victory in their quest to sweep the NFC at least three games in. They play the Seahawks in week 9, but they had to get the job done first against those Arizona Cardinals, a team that doesn't have much of a defense to speak of, not like the Lions. So I expect the Ravens to get the job done. Again, if you're following us on Instagram, thank you for supporting us. If not, what are you doing? Get over to Instagram. We had about less than 6,000 followers last week, and we're closing on 7,000 already. So Instagram is blowing up. Also follow us on YouTube and Twitter X as well. We're going to be giving away prizes. I'm giving away season tickets to Ravens fans at the end of the season. Not season tickets, I just said playoff tickets. I'm not that rich. We give out playoff tickets and maybe even a Super Bowl pair of tickets if the Ravens were to make it there, if we get enough followers. I'm thinking about 10,000 followers on Instagram and about 5,000 followers on YouTube in order to get that playoff ticket started. And at the Super Bowl, if you guys can get to 20,000 followers on YouTube, something that's very accomplished, it can happen. It can happen. If you get to 20,000 YouTube followers, I will give away a pair of Super Bowl tickets. And they're not going to be bad tickets either. So thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for building this community. And enjoy the game. The Ravens and Cardinals. Hollywood Brown goes up against his former team, and he'll try and pick up the W. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Ravens win. We'll see what happens. See you next week.